Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm dilemmified. I am absolutely concerned of where we're going as a nation when our U.S. Supreme Court defies God, literally defies God. It's the courts versus God. God's word said that God created male and female, created he them. God created man and woman in his image. God created man and woman for the purpose of marriage and procreating and bringing up a family of sons and daughters that would honor God and worship God and serve God. And you realize we have now gotten to the point and place in the history of America where the Supreme Court opinion is that God is wrong and man is right, that God is wrong, and when God's word says he created male and female, that it should be including gender identity and sexual orientation. In fact, I'm in an article that the title of this article says, Mind-Blowing Makeover, Supremes Redefine Sex, and talks about Judge Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, part of the three that objected to the ruling, the 6-3 ruling. And it was Alito that said that what the courts have done, they've taken House Bill 5, which is the Equality Act, Nancy Pelosi's brainstorm, Nancy Pelosi's bill that was designed around the whims and the wishes and the predication upon which the LGBTQ community wanted them to pass it so that they would have prevalence and predominance in society today. It says, a more brazen abuse of the authority to interpret statutes is hard to recall, Judge Alito said in his dissenting opinion. He goes on to say, redefining sex means gender identity will create chaos and enormous unfairness for women and girls in athletics, women's shelters, many other contexts, he argued. Civil rights laws that use the word sex were put in place to protect equal opportunities for women and men, allowing a court or a governmental bureaucracy to redefine the term with such a clear and important meaning undermines the very importance of the opportunities, the ones the laws were designed to protect. Further in this article, a petition from 9 people who had experienced the dysphoria that caused people to desire to identify as opposite gender also warned the justices of the problem of such ruling. Ladies and gentlemen, there was intervenors in the Supreme Court's case, 9 people that had gone through sexual dysphoria, that had gone through reassignment surgeries, that had gone through the transition, as they call it. And they warned the justices of the problems that such rulings would create in America. And it gives the names of those 9 people in this article. And they urged the justices to affirm that sex in the federal statute means only male and female. They related their own life experiences and their grief as a result of the decision that they had made. They, through their intervening petition to the courts, they pleaded with the courts not to allow that to go forth and harm other people as they had been harmed. And ladies and gentlemen, that was just 9. There are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds across America that have gone back now after years of having had that done. And they have regretted it, and they've tried to go back with the retransition to try to correct the problem, and it has not worked. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. What we're witnessing today is a major, major, major decision by the courts to defy God, to challenge God and God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, God has determined that it's male and female. It's not the sodomite agenda of the sexual orientation and the gender identity. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a bad decision, bad enough, in 2014 when the Supreme Court made the decision, the ultimate choice, the ultimate opinion, that men could marry men and women could marry women. The decision was made then when the Supreme Court ruled that sodomite marriages are legal in America. I thought it was bad enough then. I thought it was difficult enough then to find a court made up of 9 people that are male and female to make the determination that sodomite marriages are okay. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a court today that has 2 lesbians on the court, 1 Jewish person that can't stay awake to listen to the argument, much less render a proper decision. We have those that have been appointed as jurists by conservative presidents. And ladies and gentlemen, when we saw our president nominate and then go through the process of approval of Judge Neil Gorsuch, we all were delighted in thinking that we've got another conservative on the bench. But ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with another major challenge by this court, and it's the challenge of God's word. It's a challenge of God's veracity. It is literally rebellion. Hear me. It's rebellion against God. The decision that the courts have rendered is nothing less than rebellion against God and against God's word. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you it's going to have redound to major, major, major ripple effect of the undermining and the destruction of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and those that are spiritual, those that are Christians, those that are in business and professions that are trying to base your decisions and your running of your business based on your conscience and what the Word of God says. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, every school, every business, every professional office, every sports team, the detrimental effect that this is going to have moving forward. In fact, here's an article. Redefining sex expected to hit sports, schools, healthcare, speech, etc., etc. Let me read you several excerpts from this 5-page article that's very, very informative, I believe, for the subject today. By the way, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Are you listening? Do you hear what I'm saying? Does it concern you? Does it bother you? Are you interested? How do you stand? Do you think we need to just embrace it and say, okay, ho-hum, and move forward? Is it okay for this to be enforced upon the nation? And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. There's not one word, there's not one iota of evidence in their ruling that will exempt a church, a religious organization, or a Christian school, or a Christian abortion, or a Christian organization having babies and kids adopted, the adoption agencies. Not one thing in it that exempts those. Here's the article. Redefining sex expected to hit sports and schools and healthcare and speech and others. Redefining the word sex in the Civil Rights Act, as the Supreme Court did Monday, will have far-reaching consequences regarding bathrooms, schools, women's sports, much more, wrote the Associate Justice Judge Alito in his dissent. The 6-3 majority opinion written by Neil Gorsuch said, quote, an employer who fires an individual merely for being gay or transgender violates Title VII. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's putting it very mildly, very succinctly, very carefully crafted. That's not what their decision literally does. But it goes on to say, critics, including Matt Staver of the Liberty Council, argued the opinion departs from the clear language of Title VII and is no less than legislating from the bench, end quote. Judge Alito pointed out that more than 100 federal laws prohibit discrimination based on sex. Hear me. Judge Alito pointed out in the argument that we have already over 100 federal laws that makes it illegal to discriminate against a person based on whether it's male or female, not gender identity and sexual orientation. Now, men who say that they're women have a legal basis, hear me, have a legal basis to demand permission to use restrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms, changing rooms, dressing rooms, et cetera, designated for women, end quote. Quote, for some, this may simply be a question of modesty, but for others, there is more at stake. For women who have been victimized by sexual assault or abuse, the experience of seeing an unclothed person with the anatomy of a male in a confined and sensitive location such as a bathroom, locker room, shower room, dressing room can cause serious psychological harm, end quote. Further, female athletes may be forced to compete against students who have very significant biological advantage, including students who have the size and strength of a male but identify as a female. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, with sexual orientation and gender identity, there doesn't have to be any transformation biologically. There doesn't have to be the transsexual surgical procedure. That's not required if it's gender identity. You can take one that is purely male, dresses as a woman, claims to identify as a female, and has then the right to play on the sports teams that would be in competition with other women, but it's a full biological male. How would you, listen, as a parent, listen to me carefully. As a grandparent, listen to me carefully. As a husband, a brother, or a father, do you think it's all right for your son or your daughter, your little girls and boys, your mother, your aunts, your sisters, to be put upon, to be in danger in a locker room, a shower room, bathroom, on the school campuses, or in any of the sports athletic arenas that they're in? Is that okay? That's what we've just watched with the tectonic change in that, ladies and gentlemen. This article says religious groups are not, listen, are not necessarily protected either, Judge Alito said. And that's the thing that Nancy Pelosi bragged about, the equality bill, House Bill 5. She said that the Religious Liberties Reparation Act that's inculcated in most states, the Religious Liberties Reparation Act, those states that have introduced and passed legislation that protect religious liberties. She said in House Bill 5 that's already passed the House, Nancy Pelosi said that the Equality Act, House Bill 5, trumps all of the religious liberty protection bills in America. Judge Gorsuch, Supreme Court Justice, that wrote the opinion, the affirmative opinion, says that this in no way would protect the religious liberties. Nancy Pelosi is gleeful, I'm sure. Further, it says if a religious school teacher that a religious school teaches that sex outside of marriage and sex reassignment produces procedures are immoral, the message may be lost if the school employs a teacher who is the same sex relationship. The school's Christian school will not be able to say no to a transsexual or one that identifies as a male or female. It's a sexual orientation or gender identity. A Christian school, a Christian college, a Christian business cannot reject that person. If they do, they stand to be sued, can lose their business, be crushed by the suits and the damages therein. In healthcare, for example, transgender employees have brought suit to challenge employer-provided health insurance plans that do not cover costly reassignment surgeries. As regarding freedom of speech, it could now be punishable offense for someone not to use the right preferred pronoun. By equating discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity with discrimination because of sex, the court's decision will be cited as grounds for subjecting all three forms of discrimination to the same exacting standards of review, Judge Alito said. The majority opinion acknowledged that homosexuality and transgender status are distinct concepts of sex, but it concluded it didn't matter that the original law didn't mention them at all. Writing in the separate dissent, listen to this, Justice Brett Kavanaugh wrote, like many cases in this court, this case boils down to one fundamental question. Who decides? Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of the 1964 prohibits employment discrimination because of an individual's race, color, sex, religion, or national origin. The question here is whether Title VII should be expanded to prohibit employment discrimination because of sexual orientation or gender identity. Under the Constitution's separation of powers, the responsibility to amend Title VII belongs to Congress and Congress alone and to the President in the legislative process and not to the courts, end quote. He charged that other judges, i.e. the six ruling in favor, were usurping the role of Congress. Further, he says the original intent and meaning of the law It's talking about how of Title VII, the meaning of the law, and the common sense reading of sex, of male and female, is made even more obvious by Congress's repeated refusal to amend the law. When Congress refuses to amend its own law, courts have no authority to rewrite the law. Yet that's exactly what the majority of the courts did in their decision to amend Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Ladies and gentlemen, the detrimental effect it's going to have moving forward, even churches and religious schools and Christian organizations will be seriously harmed. They'll be in harm's way if they do not violate their conscience, their own conscience, and obey the new law rather than the Word of God. Just written by the Supreme Court, by their opinion, by fiat decision, they have written a law that puts every Christian and every Christian business, every home and every family in jeopardy today. Here's an article that says, Supreme Court rewrites the Civil Rights Act. Some of this is redundant, but let me read a blurb. U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling today that makes the nation's highest court look more like a uber legislative body than a judicial one. The court declared that the federal prohibition of employment discrimination based on sex in 1964, the act also prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity now. It redefines the term of biological sex, according to the courts. Justice Alito dissented, noting the legislation has been introduced for the past 45 years, noted that legislation has been introduced for the past 45 years to inculcate sexual orientation into Title VII, but it's never been passed. And now the courts have determined to pass it as legislation. Quote, we've already witnessed in several years now how the courts have used the re-identification of the words as a battering ram to crush faith-based businesses and organizations. This opinion is no different, and it poses high, dangerous threats to religious liberty in America, end quote. The court's insistence that a Christian funeral home must retain a man who was hired to assist and give comfort to grieving families, even though he decided after 6 years to show up in women's clothing, threatening the freedom to operate according to its understanding of sexuality that's rooted in the facts of science and human history. The Harris Funeral Home, a family-operated business for more than 100 years, was challenged by a male employee who said he was no longer a woman, no longer a man, but now identifies as a woman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in danger in America when the Supreme Court literally challenges God, thumbs its nose in God's face. The article here, another one says, Supreme Court delivers a troubling decision against Harris Funeral Home. Today, the Supreme Court ruled against our client, Harris Funeral Home. In doing so, the court has delivered a truly troubling decision. Unelected officials and courts can effectively rewrite laws, forcing Americans to guess what the law means, including something as fundamental as the meaning of sex. And it goes on to talk about what had taken place that prompted the case, the end result of the case. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about rebellion. We're talking about the courts deciding that God's wrong and they're right, and that they have the authority to overrule God's word and what God's word says. Ladies and gentlemen, when we rejoice with President Trump's nomination of Neil Gorsuch, we all rejoice, but boy, were we fooled. We were absolutely deceived, just as we've been deceived by Chief Justice John Roberts, just as we've been deceived by others that were appointed by conservative presidents that we thought were conservatives on the court. We're watching a demonic activity take place in our land today, where it seems as though traveling under the shroud of conservatism, we're putting people in place that make the decisions for our nation that's absolutely selling us out. It is a demonic delusion. They have wisdom, but it's earthly wisdom. And the Bible says that earthly wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. We're watching the demonic activity take place on a higher level in America than we've seen before. Ladies and gentlemen, we can expect to witness, I believe, further outpouring of God's wrath and God's judgment upon a nation that's now openly challenged God's word, openly thumbing their nose in God's face, openly rebelling against the word of God and God's authority over matters of sexuality and family and faith and the freedom in our nation. Our nation is now facing not only the residual of COVID-19, but we're also facing today, ladies and gentlemen, insurrection in our streets. We're facing today riots and vandalism and arson and robbery and murder under the guise of racism. We're watching abortion on demand, euthanasia of our elderly. About 47,000 died in nursing homes as a result of the government orders to put the COVID patients in nursing homes that thus killed 47,000 of our seniors, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that was not coincidental. I happen to believe it was not just something that happened. It was meaningful. It was meant to be. They determined that. We're watching the demands now to defund law enforcement, defund the police agencies. We've seen in New York 600 police officers resigning. We've seen in Minneapolis 47 that resigned, 14 just quit, 47 of them retiring early. We're seeing that across the nation. Give it another 90 days, and it'd be almost an impossibility to hire a police officer in any city, in any state. We're watching drugs that's now legalized in 33 states, simply destroying our citizens just to collect tax money in the states. We've watched over 100,000 this last 120 days that's died as a result of suicide, overdose of drugs, over indulgence of alcoholic beverages, and as a result of the mandated lockdown. We're watching churches being prosecuted and persecuted, many of them, thousands still closed today, and pastor being arrested and put in jail simply for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, that not being enough now, that not being bad enough now, we're watching the Supreme Court defy God and God's word. The Bible is very clear, ladies and gentlemen. God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19, verses 25, 26, and 27. God destroyed two cities and the plains round about them, the scripture reads, as a result of the Sodomite lifestyle. God, in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 32, says that he gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate in that text simply means depraved, corrupt, sinful, immoral, shameless, wicked, evil, profligate, degenerate, damned, debauched, desolate, corrupt, lost-minded, unruly. And we're going to take that mindset, that category of humanity that simply spit in God's face and said no to God's order of male and female in sexuality. We're going to allow that less than 4% of society make the determination and now be codified by a court that's literally rebelling against God, refusing to recognize God's authority and God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, under this new law that's been written by the Supreme Court, not the legislative branch, that's just issued by the court, it's an open, hostile, in-your-face rebellion against God. It can't be called anything else. It's bad enough to see the rebellion against God in the streets. It's bad enough to see the insurrection in the streets of America. It's bad enough to see those that are called Black Lives Matter and Christians that will fall into the trap of believing it really is talking about a race of people, not recognizing and realizing that it's anarchist, not realizing and recognizing that it's a movement, a Marxist movement to overthrow our Constitution, to destroy our capitalistic system. It's bad enough to see that. But now, ladies and gentlemen, with all that we've already seen and that which is taking place in America, I believe we're watching the cataclysmic apex conclusion of the race as we know it today, of America and the world as we know it today. God has been dealing with the church and the church age now for some 2,000 plus years. The church age has no expiration date, biblically speaking. It could happen at any time. God dealt with the nation of Israel for about 2,000 years, been dealing with the church age now for about 2,000 years. How much longer will God allow man to rebel and spit in God's face? How much longer will God withhold his judgment on a people that says no to God and rebels against God. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize with this new Supreme Court edict what it's going to do? It's going to transform America. In fact, here's an article that talks about transformation about the courts. Gorsuch helps transform the Supreme Court into the supreme legislature on the LGBTQ rights. A six-member majority of the Supreme Court, led by Justice Neil Gorsuch, has rewritten Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include sexual orientation and gender identity, identifying sex, in what dissenting Judge Samuel Alito called one of the most bizarre abuses of Supreme Court authority. A six-member majority of the court led by Justice Neil Gorsuch has rewritten Title VII of the Civil Rights Act 1964 to include sexual orientation and gender identity to identify sex. Why bother trying to pass the proposed Equality Act, House Bill 5, when you can get the justices to make the law for you? Ladies and gentlemen, this bill, this new law, makes it illegal for a church or a ministry to publish or to print or to speak or to write articles about anything that's against the LGBTQ community. That's what it does. It forces Christian businesses to now submit to sodomite control over the business. It forces schools to allow perverts to enter the children's restroom, and it's all legal. It forces our little girls and wives and women now to be subjected to the whims and the wishes of the LGBTQ community. Churches and Christian organizations now must allow sodomite employees to control the movement of the organization, regardless of what God's word says. This forces schools and locker rooms and shower rooms and dressing rooms to be open for the LGBTQ sexual orientation and gender identity. It forces teachers and professors now to use the correct sodomite pronouns to be fired. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we need to recognize this and realize God's at work and God's stand, whether we reject it or not. God's word is the word, is the authority, and not the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, literally with this decision, they rebelled against God and they're defying God. May I suggest to you today that we pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, and invite God to come in and heal our land. That's the only hope we have in the era in which we're living today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.